Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for this wonderful moment in Him and for the things He will do in our lives. You may be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This morning, we declare the word of the Lord that simply stated that we are coming out different. Different from what we think, different from what man thinks, different from what our circumstance tries to determine. As different as the butterfly is from the larva. There might be some similarities, but larvas don't fly. Butterflies do. God, in His sovereign grace and in His determined word, has declared that we are the blessed and that the blessing is not reversible. But while all of these things are true, we also determined that we need to be careful how we hear. Because what you hear is what determines what you become. Bible says in Genesis 1, God said. And the last statement concerning every word that the Lord said was, and it was done. And we determined this morning that if God said, and it was done, when God speaks, something creative happens. The God who spoke in Genesis 1 was bringing about a restoration out of a damaged world. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this about the world. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But it doesn't end there. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What waters? The waters that filled the entire face of the earth. The waters where darkness was. And verse 3 says, and God said. He didn't say what his problem, what the problem was. He didn't say what the circumstance was. He said what he wanted. And what he said was, let there be light. And what's the last statement? And there was what? Light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. The problem that faces us as people is that many times we look at problems, we look at issues, and we connect with the issue rather than connect with God. And so we dwell looking at our problems and are overwhelmed by our problems. The weight of our problems bury us and drive us into the deep. The end of it is depression. It is confusion. It is lives being shattered and being broken. Why? Because the focus is not on what God can do. It is on what we call reality. Reality. Someday I'm going to spend my time exploring that word, reality. What is real? What is so real? We think that reality is just whatever it is that's happening right now. But reality not only addresses that, reality addresses all that God can do with whatever it is that is happening around us. How does that change take place? How do we make that switch where we are not so buried on what is right now, but in the God who was and is and will forever be? Because there's not one problem that you and I face that doesn't have an expiry date. You're going through something today and you think this is the end of the world. You know what? I have seen so many end of the worlds based on problems, based on issues. I thought this got to be it. But, you know, it might be Friday or Wednesday or Thursday and Jesus is on the cross, but Sunday's coming. There's another day. There is no testimony without a test. When you're going through issues, you think, this is it. We're finished. Oh, no. Don't think that. Jonah thought he was done when he got tossed out into the sea and a big fish swallowed him and all he could see was darkness. But God had another place for him. God says, you know what? This problem that you generated for yourself, you're going to do what I want. And the fish takes him up to where he said he was not going to go and vomits him out. And he's alive. Jesus says, you're not going to have any other sign other than this one. Death and resurrection. And the thing about resurrection is this, that when you are raised from the dead, space and distance become meaningless. I remember many years ago, you've heard me tell this story. August 24th, my firstborn was born. He was born 2 months premature. I had no money. Mama and I had no money. We couldn't work in this country. We had no insurance. We just arrived in the country on the 1st of May of that year, 1981. And the insurance that we had will not cover the pregnancy because this was a pre-existent situation. And so we just had to believe God. And my plan was, and it was a good plan, she will have the baby and I'll get out of that hospital right away because the hospital is the most expensive hotel. You pay. And now this baby comes and he's premature. Now he's going to have to be there for a month. No less than a month because he has to be 5 pounds before they will let him out. And not only is that the situation, there were certain things that were not fully developed inside of him. Now, he's going to need surgery. The bill is piling up. And I went and I talked to God. I said, God, I don't know what to do. This is a big problem. I remember the Lord speaking to me. He said, read Romans 6 and verse 5. So I went and I grabbed the Bible. And it says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And I flipped. I was so upset. Actually, the word upset is not a nice word compared to how it does not describe it. I was livid, mad at God. I said, I spent time talking to you about my problem, and you spoke to me and you said, go read Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. And what does this have to do with my problem? For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. I said, I've got a problem, and you're giving me this silly, stupid scripture. I'm mad. But aren't you glad that God is really nicely tempered? The many times I've messed up, if I were God, I would have killed me a long time ago. But a merciful God asked me, what was the likeness of my resurrection? When I rose again from the dead, what do you remember? I said, well, when you were raised from the dead, you went through walls like there were no obstacles. So, okay, what else do you remember? I said, you showed up wherever you wanted to show up. Distance was not a problem. He said, okay. This problem that you have, from here to paying this bill, is that distance? I said, yes. Does this look like a problem, like a wall to you? I said, yes. He said, then, if you've been planted together in the likeness of my death, you'll also be in the likeness of my resurrection. That means you're going to go through this problem. And the distance between this bill and you paying it off will be bridged. I said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. From being mad, I became... the likeness of his resurrection. And would you know it? That's exactly what God did. He did not need his surgery, because overnight the problem that was inside of him that made it impossible for him to stool was resolved. He didn't need the surgery. And that bill, I started paying it. I don't know if I paid up to $300. The bill that was in the thousands. One day I went to pay with my pennies again, and they said, you don't have any bill here. I said, what do you mean I don't have a bill here? I have a bill. I had the son that was born in this hospital. Said, no, we don't have any record of it. Don't tell St. Boniface. Hallelujah. That is how that problem was solved. We serve that same God today. Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23 makes a striking statement to us. This is the word of the Lord. It says, keep thy heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Be diligent in keeping your heart. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. out of your heart are the issues of life. He says, so keep it, and keep it fervently, keep it diligently, because the issues of life, whether it be life as in life or death as in problems, they come from your heart. He says, so keep your heart, control what happens in your life. Control it. Because the enemy of your soul will want to flood your life with all kinds of situations so that you spend your time meditating on it. But what you and I need to meditate on is the Word of God. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the Word of the Lord says, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein in the Word of God day and night. Is there any time removed from that? Day and night? That's the only two we've got, day and night. He says, you got to meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you meditate on the Word of God, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You're going to make your way successful, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success. Based on what? Meditating on the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? What does God say? What does God say? What does God say? God said, and it was done. God said, and it was done. The Word of God says this, and so this shall be. The Word of God said, if you died in the likeness of my death, you shall also rise in the likeness of my resurrection. And guess what I got at the end of it? Exactly what the Word of God said. It didn't look like that was what was going to solve my problem, but that was the answer I needed, even though I did not understand it. But as soon as I connected with that word, as Mama and I connected with that word, breakthroughs took place. I can go on and on and on and talk about different problems and issues that we face through the years, but the answer has always been in the Word of God. Unfortunately, so many times people do not seek the Word of God first. They seek their own answers. They seek their own solutions. And in their own seeking, in their own solutions, they find themselves entrapped. Any man and any woman that is trapped by the enemy has not given God the chance. Because sooner or later, when you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that enemy of your soul must back off. Hallelujah. The enemy must back off. God says, when I meditate on His Word, I will make my way prosperous, and I will have good success. That's what His Word says. And if He said it, it shall be done. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 again says, keep thy heart diligently. But let's pick it up from verse 20. Proverbs 4:20. It says, my son, attend to my words. Attend to them. Pay attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline your ears to what I am saying. Because what you hear me say is what's going to be done in your life. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. My words. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep my words in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they are life unto those that find them. They are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That's your mind. That's your body. All of you. What is going to be held to my flesh? The Word. The Word of God. How much attention do we pay to the Word of God? How much do you consider the Word of God, what God says about anything? In the world that we live in, rather than hear what the Word of God says about any particular issue, we spend our time focused on what the world says. What does Johnny say? What does Tapa say? What does this person say? What does Fauci say? We think about everybody else. What does the Prime Minister Trudeau say? What did my doctor say? And we push the Word of God aside. But the fact is, sometimes your problem is not physical. Sometimes the problem you face is a totally spiritual problem, and no amount of injections, no amount of tablets that you take is going to solve the problem. You need a spiritual solution, and that spiritual solution comes from the Word of God. So we apply everything but the Word of God. I remember a young man, I think I might have been about 5 or 6 years old. Dad told us where not to go play at. But you know, children, they do what's on their mind to do. So I went out playing with my friends and climbed up this garbage heap, and a bottle caught my foot. I was bleeding, and I stopped the bleeding by putting some sand. I'm 6 years old. What are you going to do? You going to go tell Dad you went outside to play where they told you not to play? I put sand in it. It stopped the blood, and I was perfectly okay for that moment until I woke up the next morning. My foot was hurting. Hey, but I cannot stay in bed all day. So I came out, and I was walking on the edge of my feet. And my dad says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I am learning how to walk like this." I kept on doing this. He says, "Come here, come here." And I went, he says, "Show me that foot." I showed him the other leg. No, this one. Showed it to him. This big gash. What happened? Well, I went to play over there. Where's that? Over there. So what happened? I caught my foot. So it took me to the clinic. Cleaned it. I'm screaming. Cleaned it as best as I could. Stitched it. It healed. But there was a lump under my foot. And now and then, it will hurt to remind me of what I did when I was so young. I carried that ailment with me for years. Until they had to do a surgery again to correct the problem and take this lump out, this lump that was under my foot. I said, "Pastor, why are you telling us that story? What connection does it have with what we're talking about?" Well, the connection is this, that too many times we hide our problems sticking sand in it. The reality of life is coming to God and saying, "God, here I am. I need help. I messed up, but I need help." And God tells us how we get that help, what needs to happen. He says it is through His word, obeying His word, meditating on His word. This answer here is a foundation to every solution you're going to face in your life. Facing up and saying, "God, I'm not going to put you in the caboose anymore. You're going to be the captain. You're going to be Lord of my life. You're going to take charge of my life. I surrender this life of mine to you, and I say, God, take care of this. Because if you don't take care of it, I am done." The Bible goes on. It says, the reason you need to do this is because out of your heart are the issues of life. And the only way to protect your heart is by the word of God. Protect your life with the word of God. Next verse. Put away from thee a froward mouth, a proud mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. In other words, anything that contradicts the purposes of God, get rid of it out of your life. How do you get rid of it? The Bible tells us that it is out of the abundance of your heart that you're going to speak. So if you're going to get rid of a froward mouth and perverse lip, you've got to take control of your heart. Because what's in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. And if you want your mouth to speak the right things, you've got to have your heart receiving and keeping the right things. There's no other solution. There's no other solution. This is the way out. Verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on. Remember, it says, keep the words in front of your eyes. Let thine eyes look right on. Right on what? The word of God. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Straight before thee? Yes. See that you are going through. No diversion this way or that way. I'm going that way. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to continue with the word of God. It is he who continues in the word of God that becomes free. Freedom is in continuation. Your eyelids look straight before thee. 26. Ponder the path of thy feet. Check out what you've been doing. What have you been doing? Just check it out. Because that's where your problem is. And let all thy ways be established. How? In the word of God. Ponder the words, your steps, every step you're taking. Is this based on the word of God? Do you know how many decisions we've made in our lives that is not founded in the integrity of the word of God, but based on what society says to us? What is your worldview? What's your worldview? Is your worldview based on what the society is promoting, or is it based on the Word of God? What's your worldview about abortion? What's your worldview about death? What's your worldview about sexuality? What's your worldview about the things that happen in life? Is it based on what some professor who doesn't know his left from his right is stating? Or is it based on the Word of God? I know what society says, but this is what the Word of God says. You know what? The problems that we face in society today is based on the worldview of man. They took God out of the school, and now we've got the issues we've got in life. No, we don't need the Bible. We don't need prayers. We want this, and we want that, and we want this, and we want that. And now society is all messed up. Because the Word of God is set aside, and the philosophies of man, the liberalities of man, have determined how we think, how we act, what we do, what we say. And the church wonders, why do we have so many problems in church? Well, because we've picked up on the ways of the world rather than the ways of God. What's your worldview? Before you start saying, I believe this and I believe that, this is how I think, why don't you go to the Word of God and find out, what does God's Word say? Oh, well, that's archaic. It's old-fashioned. Well, I'd rather go with the old-fashioned ways of God than the new-fashioned, new style of man. Because their ways only bring about destruction. If the Word of God says to you, see that bottle? Let go of it. Don't touch it. Stay away from it. Say, old-fashioned. I got to drink with my friends. Guess what? You drink with your friends, and one day you are a boozer. Because you did not follow the Word of God. It's not that God did not keep you from that evil. You walked into it because you want your own way and you want to do your own thing. You will not have to go and start aborting a child if you just followed the ways of God. How many people have aborted and now are barren? The pastor, you tread in on all kinds of stuff tonight. Well, I'm saying, we need to reconnect with the Word of God as a people. And it starts with us in the church. We've not kept diligently our hearts. Whatever is, is. Whatever goes, goes. Verse 27. I remember this verse. Because I remember God sending a prophet to me when I got called into ministry. This man began to speak into my life back in Nigeria. Began to restate what God had spoken to me about myself from Jeremiah chapter 1. But I remember him saying, God says to you, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Look straight. Remove thy foot from evil. And so from that day I remembered. If it is evil, take your foot away from it. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Watch this. Don't turn to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil means simply anything outside of going straight. Looking at the word of God becomes evil. It doesn't matter whether it's to the right or to the left. The only right place is right here in the word of God. Am I willing to embrace that? When God sent us into this country, there were so many challenges to lie so that we can get our papers. But we shunned every opportunity that the enemy placed before us. Because if God cannot take care of us, if he sent us here, then we don't belong here. Move it. Out of the way. Everything has to be done uprightly to the glory of God. And you know what? In staying true to what the word of God says, God finally, when it was time, gave us all the papers we were looking for. And you know what? The day we got our landed immigrant status, we went to pick up those papers and we said, is this what we've been looking for? This is it? Do you know that's what happens? That you finally arrive at what you think, this, if only I have this, and you get there and you say, this is it? No, the only place of satisfaction is in God. True satisfaction is only in God. You say, if I can only get $1 million, you finally get those $1 million, you scatter it all over the place, and it rains money all over you, and you say, is this it? Oh, if I only get married to Johnny, I will be happy. You finally get married to Johnny, and then you say, is this it? If I only can buy this nice car, and you finally get it and say, people may be flipping and say, oh, what an amazing car this car is. It is so luxurious. And you're saying, I like another one. That's life. The only place that I found true satisfaction in is in God. I've never truly, in any way, shape, or form, been dissatisfied with God, because God remains faithful. It is me, not knowing what God is trying to do, that complains. But I find out God always knows what he's doing. And if I just chill and calm down, I get to experience what God is leading me to, that there's always something greater and better that God is working on and has already completed. And if I can just be at peace, all will be well. It says, remove your feet from evil. That removing your foot from evil is not going to do a bad thing. It's removing yourself from the word of God. That's the definition of evil. Go back two verses. 25. It says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. That means don't go left, don't go right, stick with the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. holding on to the word of God. He says, that's how you're going to cleanse your way. That's how you're going to protect yourself from going to the left or to the right. Focusing on the word of God. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Remember, we're taking heed. The word of God says, O generation of vipers, generation of snakes, how can you, being evil? That's present tense continuous. How can you, being evil? In other words, you are following everything but what God said. What is a viper? What, when we first saw the snake, he was saying, did God say? If you are a generation of vipers, you are generating doubt on what the word of God says. He says, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? It is not possible. You cannot speak good things into your life or into the life of anybody when you are practicing evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in my heart? What's in your heart? Is it the word of God? Do you visit with the word of God whenever you feel it's convenient? Or do you connect with that word of God day and night, meditating on it day and night to make your way successful, to make your way prosperous? Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart. That treasure is that which you are holding dear. It's important. It says, a good man, out of that treasure, brings forth that which is good. And an evil man, which is a man who is not standing with the word of God, out of the evil treasure. See, life abhors a vacuum. You're going to fill yourself with the word of God or the word of man. Out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. So if evil is happening, it is based on the treasure of your heart. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, his mouth, speaketh. So how does this good or evil come about? It comes about by what you're saying. Hello? It's what you're saying. God said, and you say. Or the devil says, and you say what the devil says. You are basically parroting whatever it is that's being spoken. And if you're listening to the devil, you are going to speak the devil's language. I remember giving a work permit, and I was working in some construction place. And in that construction place, every other word was an F word. Are you with me? They kept on F this and F that and F this and F that. It was just the language. And one day, I'm busy trying to do stuff, and the F word wanted to come out of my mouth. I said, hey, what, how, when, what is going on? Oh, I said, okay, I see. This construction site I've been hearing these F words. Now it's trying to get inside of me. No, we're not doing that. I went back the next day, and I started praising the Lord and speaking the word of God, and they started taking off, all of them. They shut their mouths. I was in charge. I was in control of that place. Their F words were shut out, and those F words did not come near me anymore. What are you listening to? It's affecting your dreams. It's affecting everything. The songs you listen to, the company you take, you keep, all of those things affect everything in your life. And the antidote is treasuring the word of God. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. That's it. Oh, but that's too simple. Okay. Keep your heart diligently, for out of it comes the issues of life. And let me wrap up with Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 11. It says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man. If you're going to be defiled, it's not what you're eating, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that which you're saying out of your mouth, this defileth a man. This is what messes the man up, what he's saying. And what you're saying is founded on what you have filled yourself with. I have a tank, one of these rain things, I don't know what you call it, that collects rainwater. And my plan is to use that water that I collect to water part of my lawn. So I tried, hooking a hose to this just a plain thing and trying to get water out. It won't work. Oh, there's no pressure. So I finally, somebody helped me, and I put a sump pump in there, and not enough pressure. And I was researching it. I found, okay, there's some kind of irrigation pump that I can get. So I get this irrigation pump, and I attach it, and voila, the water pumps out. What was inside there came out. There was enough pressure to force it out. You know, in life, you don't know what's inside of you until the pressure. It is when that toothpaste tube is pressurized, pushed on, that the paste comes out. But why am I telling you that story? The other day, I tried to go there to pump water out, and the machine, the motor is working, but there's no water coming out. Is the machine broken? No. We looked inside the tank. No water. Nothing in, nothing out. But we don't have that luxury of having nothing in. Because if you don't put the word of God in, something else is going to go in. And when that thing comes in and pressure comes, you're going to produce whatever is inside of you. And so God says, be diligent not to allow any wrong thing inside there. And I tell you what you need to put in there, the word of God. There's life and death before you. Choose life. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So So what are you filling yourself with? What you fill yourself with is going to determine whether you are clean or defiled. And verse 20, Matthew 15, 20. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Do you want to find out the things that defile the man? Let's go to the verses before. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. What comes out of the heart? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. All of those things, they come from the heart. And they come from the heart because that's what words, thoughts have been invested in there. You don't become a fornicator without feeding yourself that. You don't become a thief without feeding yourself that. You don't become unclean without feeding yourself that. So what's the answer? How is it that a young man cleanses his way? By taking heed to the word of God. The word of God is the antidote. So, well, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. Yes, it does. But the only thing that's going to keep you clean is the word of God. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from your sins, but the word of God keeps you steady. Oh, God has forgiven me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Yes, we celebrate with you. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. You don't have the word of God? You're going back to square one. You repeat the same mess. The only thing that gets you out and keeps you out is the word of God. Period. Drop the mic. Hallelujah. I love to do that. I would like one day to just drop a mic. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your eternal word. The word that transforms our lives, the word that keeps us sane, the word that delivers us, the word, oh God, that keeps us straight. Lord, oh God, we receive your eternal word concerning every issue that faces us today, great or small, whatever it is. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that in the diligence of your Holy Spirit, the diligence of your word, and the diligence that you've invested in us, this day we lock in to the integrity of your eternal word, and we are being carried by this word to a place of safety, a place of security, redeemed and sanctified because of your mercy. We embrace your love and we say, Lord, let thy kingdom come. Let your will be done in our lives this day as it is in heaven. We celebrate your goodness, Father. Thank you, Father, for your everlasting love. Thank you for breakthroughs. Thank you, Lord, that strongholds are now being destroyed and deliverance is established in all of our lives as your people. Lord, oh God, whoever and whatever is being held away from the place of divine freedom in you. This day we shatter that stronghold and we call sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, children into freedom. The freedom that comes about by the integrity of your eternal word. Word of God, take root. Let the seed of your word take root. And Lord, oh God, we wrestle, oh God, those that are in bondage into the place of freedom by the authority of your word that we speak now out of our mouths. For we say yes and amen to your eternal word. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.